Daniels, quick throw, far side, get it out there to McLaurin. Breakthrough, Terry McLaurin, foot race, McLaurin is going to win, touchdown, Washington.
That was with an NFC championship game on the line against the Detroit Lions. Kevin Burkhardt of Fox on the call. My wife and I were watching quarterback on Netflix and saw that play as Jared Goff's wife was just sobbing in the suite.
How
felt
is this so good.
Happening? How is this happening? I felt terrible for her.
No, I didn't feel
My
bad.
Wife's like, I've been that sad for years. Do you feel bad for me? I'm like, yeah, of course I do.
Nah, don't feel bad.
She was so sad, man. What are you guys doing to protect your assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondorian Murad, want to know. They're going to take good care of you. Schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So Toki just did the update with the hat backwards. That means somebody, and I don't know who it could have been, must have said something bad about Terry McLaurin during the commercial break. Because that's how you get under Toby's skin. You want Toby to be a little salty? Want him to leave the room and go stew by himself in another area of the building? You just ask about Terry McLaurin's future exploits as the number one wide receiver. All right, Darius, I want to hear from the analysts on ESPN that are taking Adam Peters to task, and then we're going to touch the people and get to the calls on this at 800-636-1067. We've talked so much about the McLaurin side of this game of chicken. What about Peters, the GM, who has done an unbelievable job? Is this worth waging war over? Is it worth winning this deal? Chris Canty, Dan Orlovsky had thoughts.
It makes no sense to me. This is a guy that from a culture standpoint embodies everything you want your program to be about. I don't understand why you don't want to pay this guy. See, sometimes these organizations, these front offices, they can operate in these negotiations with a tad bit of hubris. And it feels like that's what's happening with Adam Peters right now. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you in sports and in life is to have success early on because you think you know it all. And you try to hardline every single negotiation. You try to win every deal. Here's the thing that every successful business person knows. You can't win every deal. Every contract negotiation ain't gonna be a deal. Sometimes it's just getting the contract signed. And in this instance, that's exactly what needs to happen with Terry McLaurin because he means so much to Jaden Daniels' development. I don't understand why the Washington Commanders are taking this approach with somebody that from a locker room chemistry standpoint, from an on-field production standpoint, brings everything you want to the table. If Adam Peters is willing to do this to Terry McLaurin, then he's willing to do it to anybody in that Commander's locker room. And that might be one of the worst messages you could be sending to the rest of the guys that are involved in your program after having so much success early on.
So the easy rebuttal might be, yeah, but I can't overpay everyone who's a great guy who's great in my program. But maybe Canty's point is there's one of these. There's one Terry McLaurin. It's not about overpaying every great player who's a great guy. There's one Terry McLaurin, and that was the point that Dan Orlovsky made about what he's meant to the organization.
Respectfully, Washington, you were a dumpster fire for years. You were a laughingstock. The only thing good about your organization was that young man. Every year he did it, year after year after year, for like 5 or 6 years with disaster all around you. You were the only reason why anyone spoke somewhat positively about your organization. If you don't have him, you erase everything that you did last year. Everything that you did, and I'm being respectful to Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and what they did last year. You need him. There, give me receivers that impact winning as much or if not more than Terry McLaurin. I'll give you like Jamar. I'll give you like Jettis. Justin. Mm-hmm. Amon Ross St. Brown. This guy, he impacts winning. This is a team that had 6 fourth-quarter comebacks, was ridiculous on fourth down. What are we doing in Washington? You finally have some good, and you finally have hope for
after
the future,
year, yes.
And you're trying to take away the one thing in your organization that before Jaden and this group got there was good? It makes no sense.
First time in 5 seasons this past year that Terry McLaurin caught 80 balls. He went for 13 touchdowns, which was almost double what he'd ever done before. and he crept up on nearly 1,100 yards. Now, 13.4 a pop was up from a year ago. Still one of the second lowest total of the last 4 years, and maybe that's the concern, Toby. The downfield stuff, the explosiveness, some of the yards per catch metrics, it's probably going to be 12.5 to 13.5 at this point. That's not really the range of the guys that are making $30 million a year, and you're worried about at age 30, 31, does that subside? I tend to agree that Peters is more right than McLaurin on the value at his age. I just have made the case all along. I don't know if that's the only thing that matters here. To the Canty point, you don't have to win every single transaction.
Yeah, 100%. You know,
you're not married, but you don't have to win every fight with your wife. Like, sometimes you win by not fighting. Sometimes you win by not getting the last word.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the situation here. And that's why I think, you know, the negotiation is going how contract negotiations go around the league. That's not shocking. But I think the whole reason that there's the frustration is it's Terry. Like, if it were anybody else, with maybe the exception of Jaden Daniels on this team, I think we would be going about our business as usual. We'd obviously have the discussion here on the radio, but I don't think it'd be the talk of the town. You walk around to anybody, when are they going to sign Terry? You think this Terry thing gets done?
Oh,
you think they're going to trade Terry?
Dude, you mentioned this when we were talking in the break. Every time someone drops a pass today, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Chris Moore or somebody. But somebody dropped a pass today in practice, and everyone was chanting Terry.
Right?
Like, every time a player doesn't get open or drops a ball or something happens at receiver that's not ideal, 7,000 fans are chanting Terry, Terry. I mean,
yeah.
It's comical.
And today was the first time, by the way, since he's been back, that he didn't walk out, sign autographs, do his usual bit.
Yeah, what happened to the McLaurin show? The autographs.
I don't know what happened, but he wasn't out there doing that today. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of that.
I wonder if he was in the building.
I don't know.
I'd imagine. Maybe he was working on that ankle because he's got a serious ankle injury. Perhaps he was getting some treatment because that ankle's that's a big deal.
It's been bothering him since that NFC Championship game is what I've been told.
Right.
He hasn't had 7-8 months to get that better.
It's been bothering him since Peter said he can't find $30 million under the couch cushions.
It's so true. But yeah, I think that they'll get this done, but I just don't know that this whole situation, and I'm interested once we get this thing done because I think we both still assume that it gets done. But once it gets done, I'm curious to see the numbers, and then we can kind of decipher out like which side, where they were looking at, and where each side ultimately compromised.
I think it gets done less than what we all expect.
I would think so, too.
I think the agent and the player have to budge a little bit after the Sutton deal.
But I'm curious, like, when we get down to it, is it $8 million that was the difference, or is it $4 million, or somewhere in between? Because if it's the four side, then I don't know what this whole thing is about.
I don't know where they're at now. I'll bet you they were close to $10 million apart at some point.
Yeah, and if I
think it was $25 million versus $35 million, and maybe now it's like $33 versus $26 or $27.
So if we're taking McLaurin at his word, the thing that I would maybe have the biggest issue with was the not talking for a month thing. If you're $10 million apart, then that means you're going to have some negotiations. That's active. We're talking every day. We're sending stuff back and forth like, hey, here's why we're willing to go here, and here's why we're not willing to go there, all those sorts of things. But the not doing it for a month leading up to training camp, and now we're here in the middle of training camp, and you still haven't signed, that would be my one big gripe, and that was the big frustration for me.
Are you guys okay with how Adam Peters is handling this first marquee negotiation with one of the Commanders' best players? Let's go to MacArthur in Arlington on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I wanted to comment on a Terry McLaurin's deal. I think that at his age, and I lay all my eggs in the basket with Adam Peters on this deal, I think that to give him that type of money, by him turning 30 years old next year, I mean, the production may fall off, and that's pretty much the norm around the NFL. When you get in your 30s, you kind of fall off a little bit. So I kind of trust Adam Peters with the decision-making on, you know, not paying Terry McLaurin over $30 million a year. I think that is way too much. He's a great receiver. But just remember, you know, when we play Philly and Quinton Mitchell has shut him down in two games, okay, this year, and that's our division. That's who we need to play against. Now, yes, we do need to sign him. I totally agree with you on that deal. But he's the best receiver on this team. But
well, not even close, right? I mean, without him, when you watch practice, we just had Adam Kilgore on from the Post. Debo was not even a full-time, traditional, normal wide receiver. He's number one. And then Jalen Lane, the rookie mid-round pick out of Virginia Tech, who may or may not be in the game plan in week one, the way things are trending.
Yeah, and number three, I have no idea.
Yeah, he'd be the number two receiver in camp so far. And third, I would say Chris Moore, who's been like up and down as a veteran who's just, you know, getting by on guile and some know-how. Let's go to Brock in Bowie, home of the Bay Sox. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? This is my first time calling in on your show.
Oh, we appreciate you calling. Thank you, buddy. How you doing?
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
So is any part of you growing in your frustration with how the team's handling this, or do you like that they're playing hardball over this money?
Well, I think I'm going to put my GM hat on. Adam Peters is more so with him. You know, he's trying to put a stamp on that franchise. Basically, he didn't trade for him. He didn't draft him. He inherited him, you know, with the team. So basically that's not his guy, you know, from that standpoint, because of the fact that, you know, he's new, you know, he's a new GM. So he's really want to, you know, bring his guys in so they can, you know, do their due diligence and show the organization that, hey, we're running this ship right. But I think Terry McLaurin, you know, he's done everything to get the money, but at the same token, that's not Adam's.
But do you have any issue with how they're handling it, or do you think it's just good business?
I have an issue with it because of the fact that this Terry McLaurin, he's been an upright guy, upstanding citizen, and he's done everything the right way.
Yeah, that to me is the great debate, is should they treat Terry McLaurin as 30-year-old wide receiver number 7, you know, like just a code on the back of the jacket, 1A2R673, age 30, experience level 6 years, demand $30 million. We cannot do that. He is too old. Or is this our sweet Prince Terry? Like, should that factor into it? Kevin in Arlington, what's up?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. So a couple of things. First of all, Canty talking about, you know, you can't win every deal. He's talking about Bruce Allen. He's not talking about Adam Peters, okay? And it's not just Adam Peters.
I think his point, Kev, was sometimes you do a bad deal for the bigger picture, and this would be a time to do that, he's saying.
Maybe so, but I don't disagree with that. I think what's getting lost in all this, in my opinion, is Buddy Baker's an amateur. The reason they didn't talk for a month is he was ridiculous and what he was asking for, in my opinion. I think that's going to come out. And so that's not getting talked about a whole lot. Listen, the other thing is, and I don't know if I agree with this or not, it may be that Adam Peters in this front office, they don't view the wide receiver position as where they're going to put all the money. The other thing is, hey, he is trying to win with a rookie quarterback contract. I mean, we have been dying for someone like Adam Peters, like Dan Quinn, and like JD5 to be here. Now they are. I'm sorry this has happened to Terry. I love Terry, but I think he's a little delusional about what he's asking for. This is his third contract. He's 30 years old. I'm sorry. I'm with Adam Peters, and I think Buddy Baker is the crux of the problem here.
Just so people know that they maybe don't, Buddy Baker's the agent for Terry McLaurin he's referencing. He doesn't really have any clients the caliber of McLaurin. Tershawn Wharton in Carolina is his next biggest player. Jeremy Chin, who is here, was going to make $8 million this year, would probably be third. Reed Blankenship with the Eagles. He's got Shaquille Griffin in Seattle. But by and large, he's an agent that doesn't have a lot of stars.
And he brought up maybe they're not viewing the wide receiver position. I don't buy that because he came from San Francisco where they had Debo and Ayuk. And they paid both those guys. And by the way, they just traded for a guy that's getting $20 million this year in Debo Samuel. So they care about the wide receiver position. Maybe they don't care about McLaurin at the wide receiver position.
So I've actually made the point it is possible that they are not going to want to spend big at wide receiver. I think that's very plausible. I won't know for a year or two, but the Ravens are my example of you don't have to have wide receiver one. You don't have to spend huge at the position because it's kind of a wasted asset.
But then you need a tight end or a reliable dude. So
sure.
Who
but that's
outside
why you
of
go
Terry
get Debo, who's a weapon. Okay. I think they view him as a weapon less a wide receiver. But my point is, you know, with the Ravens, it's the running game, it's tight end, right? Which they have a great one and have for many years in Mark Andrews. And now with Zay Flowers, they finally hit on. They draft their guys. They don't want to spend a lot of money at the position. It's not like they don't want talent. They just had a hard time drafting it.
To me, it's funny because we always they do that, right? You talk about that. But then it always gets to a point where like, man, they could use a number one receiver.
Well, exactly. But people say that. I don't think the Ravens, they're drafting hoping to find it. They're not going to spend on it because it's a waste of money. Because Lamar is never going to feed a receiver to go.
Okay, but
one, hold on, let me just finish real quick. Like 110 catches, 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns. You know, you can find a Steve Smith. You can find those assets. When you have a running quarterback where a lot of passes become scrambles, it just might not be the best way to spend money. And we saw this how many times last year?
Sure.
McLaurin had five games where he had less than 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Same number as 100-yard games. Like, there's going to be games in this offense where Jaden's running around, we're throwing to the tight end in the backs, where the wide receiver's not the biggest thing.
Yeah, but I think even, like, you look at the guy who won MVP last year, right? Part of the reason he won MVP is he didn't have the receivers around him. But middle of the year, they're like, we need a number one guy. They traded for Amari Cooper, who didn't turn out to be the number one guy. But even they were like, we need a guy that we can depend on. And Shakir was good, but he wasn't that dude. So I just don't think that the idea that they could get by without having a true number one, because people will look at KC, and they just ignore the tight end position, as if Travis Kelce isn't one of the best receiving tight ends of all time. Oh, well, he had Tyreek Hill. Now he doesn't have him. What does he have? It's Travis Kelce. Oh, well, you look at Baltimore, and they have Mark Andrews. They have Isaiah Likely. Like, they have guys. So, if you're going to go outside, are you going to say Zach Ertz? Are you going to say Debo's going to suddenly fill in that? When we always talk about Debo, and we say he's more weapon than actual receiver.
Right.
Like, you have to have that guy.
Totally. But you don't have to pay a wide receiver one, would be my point.
Sure.
Buffalo has actively gone away from that to name the team that you're referencing. And by the way, even though Josh Allen is fourth in rushing attempts, he ran the ball last year 100 times. Jaden Daniels ran the ball over 100, like 150 times.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. My point is just there's two guys, maybe three if you count like Jalen Hurts, and they have built the thing beautifully with great receivers. But in the case of Lamar, in the case of Jaden Daniels, when your quarterback's going to run as much as those guys are, and you're going to have 800, 900, maybe 1,000 yards worth of offense just from rushing, and then you could build it up. Tight end is the cheapest position to go get a great weapon in terms of just like value and cost on the open market. Eckler, pass catching backs out of the backfield. That is one way to skin the cat, so to speak, in terms of building an offense. Is I don't know if this is how they view it or not. I'm saying they're acting like they view it this way. When you suggest you don't want to pay Terry McLaurin, when you bring in Debo only on 1 year, it's not like they extended him. You know, if they brought in Debo and gave him a 3-year extension, then yeah, they're really prioritizing a wide receiver weapon. I think they found a guy that they thought could help him for a year. We're going to find out. My guess is that they tag McLaurin and he's here, but that you're going to see them really sink their teeth into the receiver position in the draft like the Ravens do, because they're going to try to build kind of short and intermediate, tight ends, running backs, quarterback run game, like that kind of stuff. So I think there's a possibility to what he's talking about, that maybe they don't want to spend top of the market money at receiver. Now, is it just that they don't view McLaurin as worth it? That's possible too. We're going to find out in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a valid choice if they want to go that way. It's just, I don't know that this was the time to do all this, but this is Adam Peters' team. This is what he's opted to do, and we've seen them get these deals done in the past. So I'm hoping that they do find a way to get this done, but I don't know. This is the first time that you can look at something that Peters has really done and feel like you can really criticize that.
I'm glad you brought up Peters, because that was the first part of his call that I wanted to get back to. He mentioned, you know, I hear this argument a lot from people, and this was the case with Rivera before Peters, and he used to annoy me then. Where someone will say, all we've ever wanted is a general manager who ran the football operation, and now we have one, and like people are questioning the way he's running it.
Yeah.
As if to say you can never question anything. I think that's just stupid. I hate that.
Correct.
You can do two things at once. I'm very capable of walking and chewing gum. I wanted Adam Peters. I love Adam Peters. In fact, in this stare down with McLaurin, I actually think he's more right than Terry McLaurin. Like, all of things can be true that I just said. And it is perfectly okay for someone to think Adam Peters is good and is going to be a great GM and has already been a good GM and still wonder if he's doing the right thing with McLaurin.
Yeah.
Because the best GMs, whether it's Theo Epstein in baseball or Howie Roseman in Philadelphia, are wrong constantly.
Yeah, Howie Roseman took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson.
Right.
Happens all the time.
The idea that we can sit here and go, is Adam Peters doing the right thing with Terry McLaurin? And the response to that should be, you got a great GM, just let him cook, let him do his thing. he's going to keep working. Like, we're having conversations. It's not stopping him from doing his job, I promise you. Right?
You don't think he's tuned in right now?
And he might be. He's probably listening in his office. What's up, Adam? But he's still making the phone calls while he's doing it. You know, he's still sending the text messages. But this notion of, like, you guys have a GM, and how dare you? The in Ron we trust thing was for the birds. You guys got fooled by that, and that's the prerogative. This is actually a grown-up who's worth trusting. And so if you want to do an Adam we trust thing, I'll actually go to those meetings. I'll sit there with you. I'm Grant Paulson. In Adam I trust. I love Adam Peters. But I'm still going to be a critical thinker. That there is no reason not to be
100%.
When the job is that you get it right like 60% of the time and you're in the Hall of Fame. We're trying to figure out what the 40% is to try to make sure that, you know, they do the right things.